the chayr of Nadav and Avihu, and what that tells us by saying, you know, Sefer Vayikra structurally is really not a story of narrative. Sefer Vayikra is a story, you know, where there's really the halachos of the mikdash, and then expanding out from the korbanos to discussion of other issues of what we call taros, like tazria mitzora, metumas taras, and then issues of kedushas hazman in parshas emor, and then we have kedushas haaretz in the end of Sefer Vayikra in terms of shvius and yovel. But we do have two stories in Sefer Vayikra, if I can use that term, which are really both about kedusha. Nadav and Avihu is about people taking certain liberties in the context of mikdash, which are not acceptable. In the other direction, it's very very important to understand that the mikalel has this is at the end of Parshas Emor, is michutz lamachane. He was al iske machane. He was sort of at the outer edges of the machane, at the margins, based on his genealogy, and then he curses Hashem. So you have kind of opposite stories, which are really stories about kedusha in their own right. Nadav and Avihu taking certain liberties, feeling that they could get so close, and then the mekalel, really the opposite story of desecrating the name of Hashem. So the fact that the story of Nadav and Avihu is here is really, a reflection of the kedusha of Sefer Vayikra, and the focus on kachim and on korbanos. I think it's very very important, that we understand that the moment of Nadav and Avihu and that sin is really like a personal catastrophe for Aaron HaKohen, as we know, at the worst possible time, on the first day that he became the Kohen Gadol, the job that would define him and define the entire office of Kohen Gadol forever. But it's not, let's say, arbitrary. The most important thing for us to understand about Aaron's role as the Kohen Gadol, and the fact that Kedushas Aaron, as the Rav used to like to call it, was perpetuated on Kedushas Kohen, and then Kedushas Aaron, the personal significance was born in a moment of both great elevation, great exaltation, Vayar Kol Ha'am Vayaronu, and also great tragedy, the death of not just one but two of his sons. If I had to maybe just to give, it's not exactly the same. A number of years ago, we had a congregant, a very, very beloved congregant, who passed away in shul under specific circumstances. And, for family members to come into shul is not a simple thing. As you can imagine, just being in the same location. I spend a lot of time thinking about that. In the context of Aaron, he worked every single day in the place that his, not just one, but two of his children passed away. You understand if he never wanted to show up there again. And he wasn't even able to leave that day. Amikdash lo yetzei. So I'm not going to focus so much on the personal dimension of the tragedy today, but I don't want to mention and focus on Nadav and Avihu without developing, this idea that sometimes I think that our appreciation for Aaron HaKohen as the Kohen Gadol, our appreciation for him is maybe not where it needs to be in terms of the gevura of every single day, what Aaron did to show up on behalf of the Jewish people. And if we want to have a sense of his Avas Yisrael, his love of the Jewish people, and again, just bring it back to this family. So the family, in ways that I think are very healthy, has moved out of state, and you know, we have a very close personal relationship, and you know, whenever they come into town, we always meet, and kind of thoughtlessly, the almana was in not that long ago, and I said, oh, you know, well, we'll meet in the office, and she was totally up for it. And then afterwards, not long afterwards, I felt terribly, because we could have met elsewhere, and why did I make her walk into the building if she didn't have to? And she was okay with it, but you know what I mean? You know, I should have been more sensitive. I should have been more. I felt very. This is months ago, but you know, it's still on my mind. You know, so I our own being there every single day, and then in particular on Yom Kippur, which is the day when all the avodah has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, and he has to go into the spot where his sons died in the Kodesh, holding the Ketores. You know. So for Aaron to walk over that space holding the Ketores that his sons held, you know, that is like, to me, the height of personal gevura, to be able to do something like that. It's really something. And yeah, I think that's really the answer. You know, the Parshas Acharimos begins, you know, with that pasuk. You know, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Acharimos Shnei Bnei Aaron V'Karv Asam L'Tnei Hashem Vayimusu. Actually, this is the first Torah question I ever asked. It was in Shul, and it was to my father. I hope it was Ben Gavra L'Gavra, but I can't promise that. I just don't know when it happened. But I was very, you know, it was these Parshios, and I knew enough to know. I was in second grade, and I knew enough to know you know, Nadav and Avihu died back in Parsha Shemini, in this week's Parsha. And, you know, I knew enough to know that Tzadri and Mitzora intervened. So I asked Ellie, this is good, actually, I asked Rabbi Hartstark. He's the rabbi at the time. So I asked Rabbi Hartstark. I asked my father, who then took me to ask Rabbi Hartstark, because I don't think I would have had the gumption to do that. Why does Acharei Mos start with, you know, Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron? I said, that happened 3 weeks ago, you know. in my time frame, that happened back in Parsha Shemini. So why you know, Tazria Mitzora Achrei Mos? So the answer that I've settled on over the years is that's exactly right. When you introduce the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Bizos Yavo Aaron Al Kodesh, you can't miss the fact that he's being asked not just to do a really complicated avoda. He's being asked to walk over the space where his children died, holding what they did when they died. It's so. The older I get, I don't think I'm old yet, but the older I get, the more impressive it gets to me. The more I think about it, I think becoming a parent makes you think about that, and then getting to spending time with parents who've lost children and how humbling that is. And then, you know, I personally have had very limited interactions with parents that have lost multiple children, thank God. But like, you know, that is an experience that I actually don't know anybody who is. There's a very famous and very remarkable woman in Israel, Miriam Peretz. You know, she lost two of her sons. People probably know her in battle years apart. But like, you know, somebody like that walks into a room, you stand up, you show great humility, you show great deference. Aaron was somebody that, you know, just a personal side is something that the older I get, I just, you know, I find it, you know, quite extraordinary that he, not just everybody pays attention to Vayidom Aaron in the moment, but the fact that he went on, you know, for 40 years, essentially, you know, carrying on every single day on a random Tuesday, you know, when nobody was paying attention, and you know, he's got to be in this space every single day that his children die. It's just, to me, it's something that I really, I don't think we talk enough about, and I don't think we appreciate enough about him, and it makes me filled with awe, you know, in terms of the personal gevura that goes into it. So that was just on the personal level. Not to talk about it from like an antiseptic point of view, but you know, it's very very, very important to understand to the best degree that we can what went wrong. I already kind of framed it in terms of the opposite of the Mekalel, but I think that there's really much more to say about it. So let me just, you know, read the Psukim and then try to put it in its proper context, and then hopefully come back a little bit to Parsha Sachodesh. Vayikchu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtaso, vayitnu bahen esh, vayasimu ala ketores, vayakrivu lifnei Adonai esh zara, asher lo tziva osam, vateitze esh lifnei Adonai, vatochol osam, vayamusu lifnei Adonai. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, hu asher diber Adonai lemor, bikrovai akadesh, v'al pnei chol ha'am mekaved, Vayidom Aharon. So Aaron's sons Nadav and Avihu took the machta, and they, you know, put a this fire on it, and they put a ktores on it, and they bring this, you know, this ktores, which is called an esh zara, asher lo tziva osam. So again, it's not entirely clear what went wrong. The Ramban focuses very heavily on the machshava, that they maybe had a machshava zara, which is really interesting. The world of Kanshim, is it asher lo tziva osam? It's that you can't, you know, have a ketores nedava. That's just not, you know, something that, it's not in the framework, it's not in the protocols of Mikdash. Vateitzeish lifnei Adonai, vatochol osam, vayamusu lifnei Adonai. Okay, and then a fire came out, and it consumes them, and they die. And Moshe has this reaction, you know, bikrovaya kadesh. That those who are krovim, and they were literally, you couldn't get any closer, essentially, they were in the Kodesh, in the area where the Ketores is brought, God was elevated and seemed to be even more exalted in the eyes of the people, and Aharon was silent. The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, going back to the second recapitulation of you know, of Maimed Har Sinai, Vayal Moshe V'Aaron Nadav V'Avihu V'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael Vayiru Es Elohei Yisrael V'Sachas Raglav Kimaseh Livnas HaSapir Uch Etzem HaShamayim LaTohar. So Moshe went up to a certain place along with Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Please forgive me for a slight digression, but I was recently learning this pasuk with my six, soon to be 7-year-old, the Shivim Mizikne Yisrael, and he asked me who they were, and I said, you know, specifically they're not named. Then he asked about three individuals who might have been there. I said, there were 70 rabbis. He said, were you there? And I said, no, I was not there. Then he said, was Rabbi Soloveitchik there? And I said, no, even Rabbi Soloveitchik was not there. You know, nobody hears about him at home. He asked, was Rabbi Akiva there? And I said, no, even Rabbi Akiva was not there. And then he kind of looked at me like, so who was there? You know, as if that was the big three. So, you know, this was obviously a source of great humor to me. It will be the first and last time that I'm grouped together with those two individuals, but I guess, you know, if it's your own son, why not? But we don't know. It's really interesting that we don't know. But I think what may be even more interesting is that, you know, who wasn't there? I mean, to the best of our knowledge, it says Moshe, Aharon, the Shivim Zakenim, Nadav and Avihu. Who might you have expected to be there? Which can be a point that I try to get home today. Like, let's say, in between Nadav Avihu and Shivim Mizikneh Yisrael, at least I would have expected it. Maybe wrongly, but it's just between Nadav and Avihu and Shivim Mizikneh Yisrael. Maybe it's just me. It's okay if it's just me. So I would have expected Elazar and Itamar. Is that not unreasonable? Like, Aaron has four sons. So if it's Moshe and it's Aaron and it's Nadav and Avihu, isn't it interesting that it's one of the hints that we have in the Torah to this idea that Nadav and Avihu were like at a different plane than Elazar and Itamar. 1, 2, 3, 4. But okay. So they're not there. Elazar and Itamar are not there. Then there's something that happens. It's one of the most enigmatic scenes in the Torah. So they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, and underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu has legs, Kabayachal, not that Hashem has legs, was this brick of sapphire that, you know, looked like the pure sky. And then, V'latzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. There was no, there was no reaction. And they saw Hashem, v'yachazu es halokim, v'yochlu, v'yishtu. And they had some kind of a feast. So Rashi takes a very, very draconian approach to this. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael nistaklu veitzitzu v'nischayvu misa. They're really chayav misa. L'shel ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu la'arbev simchas haTorah. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to cause this tumult and to diminish from the great joy of Matan Torah. V'himtin l'nadav v'avinu ad yom chanukas ha'mishkan. Now Rashi says elsewhere that the Shivim Miziknei Yisrael, you know, were dealt with, you know, at a different time. And, you know, Tavera, Vayochlu, Biktei Amachana, or the Ktine Machana, Rashi refers to that there. So it wasn't like they got off either. So it's you know, very striking, in my opinion. Right? It's like, you know, if Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to do this at Matan Torah, so he waited until, you know, Yom Chanukah Samishkan, the famous Mishnah says, based on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, B'yom chasunaso, v'yom simchas libo. That yom chasunaso is Matan Torah, v'yom simchas libo, the day of greatest joy, is O Chanukah Samizbeach. It's not exactly like doing it on a random Thursday. You know, that was also a pretty important day not to have, you know, the event committee wasn't expecting the death of Nadav and Avihu, you know, for the installation of Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. And so, clearly, it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically chose that day, but something about what happened on that day was a kind of a repeat of what happened on this day, on the day of Matan Torah. So again, V'latzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, hei nadav v'avihu v'hazakenim.
I'm sorry, so which day is he actually saying that it is? It is in remembrance of Har Sinai, but it's the day the Mishkan was dedicated? Is that just...
Exactly. So that... Really, Hashem, you know, all else being equal, what they did was so bad that they went beyond where they should go. They didn't respect boundaries and lines. And Hashem delayed it until the day when the Mishkan was being inaugurated. Not like specifically that was the best time for it, but this is an argument, I think, that what happened on the day the Mishkan was inaugurated is some kind of a recapitulation. So ve'latzilei heim nadav yaviu v'azkenim lo shalach yado michlal shayu ru'uyim lishaleach bahem yad. Meaning, they deserved it. Vayachasu es Elohim hayu mistaklin bo belev gas. So gas means arrogance. And that has to do, Rashi says, with the feasting, achilo shasiya. All right. So what Rashi, I think, is really contributing, the value, the great value added here, is the idea that what happened in the context of the day that the Mishkan was being inaugurated, with them going past the boundary, something they weren't told to do, something they weren't allowed to do, Zara, Sherlot Siba, Osam, it wasn't the first time. And these very sacred spaces, right, the Kedusha of Har Sinai, which the Ramban says then becomes the Kedusha of the Mishkan, they just don't understand what boundaries are. So this, I think, is this kind of an approach, you know, is I think highlighted in a way by what happens later on in Sefer Bamidbar, where we all know the story where Korach wants to go beyond the boundaries. Boker v'yoda Hashem es asher lo, Rashi says, Gvulos chalak lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'olamo. That there are boundaries. And they couldn't respect that, Korach and Izeda, and they're told to take the Ketores, and they die in a very similar fashion to Nadav and Avihu. So this idea of boundaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Aaron to be the Kohen, he didn't choose them to be the Kohen, and that's the representation of the Ketores. Ve'esh yatsa me'es Hashem, v'tochal asachamishim masayimish makrivei haKetores. Almost verbatim, you know, what we see in the context of Nadav and Avihu. It's the same location, it's at the Ohel Moed. It's holding the Ketores, it's a fire from Hashem, and a lack of respect for those boundaries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up in the world. You know, I don't get to be the Kohen Gadol. So I think this whole approach, and I want to continue to develop it in a little bit, but I think this whole approach is very, you know, very, very important. To take a look at maybe a little bit of a, you know, different vantage point. So the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, the Rashbam, you know, was 20 when his grandfather passed away. He spent a lot of time learning with his grandfather, was able to, you know, elaborate on his grandfather's commentary in Arvei Pesachim, was able to, you know, write in Bava Basra where his grandfather left off, that, you know, was a very important framing for everything that he did. So, you know, everything that his grandfather writes about is always of interest to him. It's always interesting to contrast. So, Vayichuvenei Aaron Nadav ve'Avihu. So, Kodem Shiyatzei Eish Melifnei Hashem, Kvar Lachu Ish Machtaso, Lahakter Ketores Lifnim Al Mizbeach HaZahav. That's in the second highest sanctified area of the Mishkan, with the Shulchan, the Menorah, and then there's the Mizbeach HaKetores. And the Rashbam goes on to say, the end of the slide, v'nasnuban ish zara shalotziva osa Moshe b'yom hazeh. This was, you know, not commanded. This was what they would call today going rogue. Shavu pisha b'shar yamim k'siv v'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish al ha-mizbeach hayom lo tziva v'lo ratza Moshe shi'aviu eish al hedyon. That Moshe did not want this to happen. L'fisha yumitzapin liridas eish gavoa, because as we know, there was supposed to be a fire that eventually did come out from Shemayim. Vatete esh mifnei Hashem, vatochal mizbeach. Right, that was the great scene. Vayar kol am vayarono. And Moshe thought that it would diminish. Just like at Har Sinai, it says, you know, vahar bo'er ba'esh. There was a fire from above and not from below. So Moshe wanted it to be like that. Velo tov hayom lavi esh zara, meaning from the bottom up. Kedeli hiskade shem Shemayim, sheidu akol ki esh ba min haShemayim. Kimosha Amar Eliyahu, this is what Eliyahu does at Har Carmel. Ellie and I were looking at this not too long ago, right? Ve'esh lo tasimu, that it has to be clear that it's all min haShemayim. Lefisha erotze v'kadei shem Shemayim, yiridas esh shalmala. Okay, so I think, you know, that the Rashbam really, in his own way, of course, with his own application, but was developing, you know, his grandfather's framework. That there's basically a gaiva involved, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it had to be his show. It had to be his show. It had to be an Eish Min HaShemayim. It wasn't the time for people to assert themselves in this way. And they're bringing an Eish Shel Hedyot, an Eish from the bottom up, which, you know, is welcome on any other day, was not what this day was about. And unfortunately, there are people who can't respect those kinds of boundaries, who can't, you know, refrain from inserting themselves. You don't have to insert yourself. Nadav and Avihu couldn't respect that. That it wasn't adding, it was detracting. Kol Hamosif, in this context, goreya. So Rashi again focused on how this sin, Eish Zarah Asher Lo Tziva Osam, was really an extension of them going beyond the boundaries at Har Sinai, mitoch gasos, from a sense of arrogance. And I think the Rashbam, in his own way, is really able to elaborate on that the Eish Zarah Asher Lo Tziva Osam means that they weren't commanded to do it. It wasn't a time where volunteering was additive. It was a detraction. I mean, I think that's very, very, very important. And I think we actually can suggest that there's even more evidence for this approach, and maybe to dig a little bit deeper. Rashi, quoting from, you know, Midrashi Halacha, here in Parsha Shemini, so Rabbi Lazar's view is that there was another form of arrogance. I think it all comes to the same place. There were Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. You know, there is a very severe restriction associated with when there's a great halachic authority around. There has to be netilas rishos. There has to be a permission structure for somebody to weigh in, you know, who's at a more junior level, you know, younger, less experienced. It's just not appropriate. And, you know, to sort of jump that line is a reflection of, again, just like going past the point of Har Sinai where you're supposed to go, or going into an area of the Mikdash you're not supposed to go, it's a lack of respect for boundaries that comes from some kind of an inflated, you know, sense of self, which, you know, depending on the situation, you know, can reflect, you know, some kind of a real problem, an internal problem. You know, in terms of having, you know, a proper and healthy, not just sense of humility, but a sense of perspective and a sense of decency and courtesy. You know, if I was standing to go back to my sons, you know, and again, this is the reason it's so funny, the Shivim Zikne Yisrael, not only because my son thinks that I could have been alive in the times of the Torah, which I guess is also very funny, but, you know, if let's say it really had been Rabbi Soloveitchik or Rabbi Akiva, right? So, you know, if I was with either of those people and somebody asked a halachic question, so, you know, I would say, you know, I think we have two very qualified Orthodox rabbis here to address the issue, right? So Nadav and Abihu's, you know, it's not like a minor infraction. Their willingness to field the question, rightly or wrongly, you know, I don't know what answer they gave, but in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu is shocking. It's, you know, if it wasn't so grave, it would be laughable. Like, you know, who do you think you are? You know, so that's one opinion. Now, the other opinion, and again, I think this is also a different way. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shesuya Yayin Nichnasu LeMikdash Teda Sharei Achar Misasa and Hizra Nosarim Shali Kanser Shesuya Yayin LeMikdash, etc. So the other approach, which seems on its face to be different of Rabbi Shmuel, namely that they went into the Mikdash when they were inebriated, also to me, doesn't strike me as like a technical issue that, okay, so a Kohen who does the Avoda when he's drunk is Chayav Misa Bidei Shemayim, which is true, but like, how could you think that that's acceptable? How in the world could you think that this is the time, you know, to be in that state? What kind of, what is this, your personal playground? You know, I'm not saying it's always or ever really good to be in that space, but really, Are you that entitled that you don't have any perspective? So maybe the sort of the most egregious, all these sources to me point in the same direction about gaiva being the basic sin. But if there's one source where I think there's like any shred of doubt which remained would not survive it. So Kvar Hayu Moshe V'Aaron Mahalchen B'Derech V'Nadav V'Naviu Mahalchen Achareihen V'Chol Yisrael Achareihen. In this Agada, I'll just note as well, it's been I always find it really, really interesting to note that Elazar and Itamar are not there, that they didn't need to insert themselves in this way, just like we talked about in the Psukim, Mishpatim, going up Har Sinai. So, all right, so Moshe and Aaron are walking along the way, and appropriately, Nadav and Abihu are like sort of behind them, and the Jewish people are behind them. So Amrlo Nadav Abihu, a masa yamusu shnei zakenim halalo, v'ani va'ata nan higes hador. Amrlo Mekadosh Baruch Hu, nira miko veresmi. So, this Agada, and again, like all Agados, I think it really, you know, captures a very critical sentiment that Nadav and Avihu said to each other, one of them turned to the other, doesn't really matter which one, the sense is that both of them have this conviction, said, when are these two, let's put it nicely, elder statesmen going to finally pass away so that we can, you know, take our rightful place as the leaders of the generation? What they're saying is that we could do a better job. You know, these guys are hanging around, blocking our path. So all of this, the Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba, and the going up, you know, too far in Har Sinai, thinking that it was, you know, for them to steal the show, the Chanukas HaMishkan, it all, those were all simanim, those were all just outward symptomatic manifestations. Of this deep, deep character flaw. This really pervasive sense of gaiva that just came to destroy them. You know, it ended up literally killing them. I mean, I think this is very significant. Then on the very first day of the Mikdash, we have a proof of concept. A gaiva has no place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a place. It's the Paltaren Shel Melech. It's God's palace. That's the story. Everybody who's there is there to serve him. There's no room for gaiva. I mean, gaiva is a problem everywhere, but there's no room for gaiva in the Avodas HaMikdash. Ever. It just can't happen. And it can be fatal. You know, we read recent parshios, ki chol se'or v'chol dvash lo saktiv menu isha l'Hashem, sometimes in the language of Chazal, that chametz, I'm sorry to bring up chametz, by the way, I should have given you know, some kind of a warning about that, trigger warning, they called it. My sincere apologies. But having, you know, already stepped into it. So the chametz, you know, is prohibited year-round in the Beis HaMikdash. Chametz is very often called the Se'or Shebi'isa. It reflects, you know, being puffed up sometimes. Rabbi Rosenzweig likes to say, you know, so chametz is asur all year-round in the Mikdash. Mikdash yitirao. You can't have that. And so from day one, if you understand like I do, that the basic sin of Nadav and Avihu was gaiva, Masa Yamusu Shnei Zakena Malalo Vaniva Ata Nana Gesador Vayachsu Asalokim, Rashi says, Mitoch Gosos. There's no place for that in the Mikdash. There's no room for ego. It just can't happen. just can't happen. And I think, in that respect, Aaron's response isn't just impressive. It's impressive. But I think it can be conceptualized maybe from a slightly different perspective. We know the Torah tells us, I'll just show it to you inside because I have it here, but it can just be made. So the pasuk says that Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. Okay. The Rashbam comments, Miyad k'shesham Aaron ayirotza laniach chavota, like any father, lisabel albanav, he wanted to mourn. And Moshe told him he couldn't, not today. Al tisabel v'al tifka al techla min avoda k'yadavar zeh shen yomer l'cha hu asher diber Hashem. The Rashbam goes on to explain, b'krovaya kadesh, b'kohanim gedolim, akrovim alay l'shar seni, and yirotza lis kadesh. You have a special role here today. There's no opportunity for avelos. V'al p'nei cholam ekaved, zehu kvod ashchina shero abanav mesim, u'miniach evlo be'avodas boro. So the Rashbam explains that Aaron was able to be mekadesh shem shamayim in this moment because everybody knew that the most natural thing would have been for him to express himself in agony. And he didn't, because this is what God had commanded him to do. Vayidom Aaron me'aveluso v'lo bachalo yisabel. Afkan vayidom ha'she'erotzel yisabel v'livko. Similarly, the Ramban. She'ebocha b'kol ve'az shasak. In other words, it's not just that Aaron didn't, react and he went on, didn't react outwardly and went on, but that he was about ready to break down and like any father would. And then Moshe says, but that's not what Hashem commanded you to do today. And it's a tikkun for the sins of his sons. The arrogance, the desire to asher lo tzivo osam, to know what's best, to decide for themselves. And Aaron is mitaking that by doing precisely the opposite. By putting his own personal interests last. His personal interests demanded of him to cry, to mourn. He didn't put himself first, he put himself last. And like I was saying at the beginning, he did it for 40 years. But especially on that day. The Mikdash is allergic to Gaiva. The Mikdash is about, as we said, Paltar and Shalmelech, it's about submission. It's about having an understanding. This is God's house. And Aaron, in that moment, transcending personal interest, demonstrated, that the Kohen HaGadol Me'echa, for all of his grandeur, some of us were talking about recently, the Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, and how important that is, and Vikidashto, for all of the grandeur of the Kohen, he's a servant. Shluchei derachmana, shluchei didan. God's agent and our agent. The Targum Unklos is so striking. Anytime we'd see the term Kohen in the context of, I could say, a non-Jew, Yisro, the Targum always says Rabba, like this exalted figure. Anytime you find Kohen in the context of our Kohanim, Targum Unklos says Shamash, a servant. I don't think it's an accident. You know, it's a perspective. Nadav and Abihu didn't understand. Masa yamusu shnei azakinim halalu v'ani v'ata nanig esadar. Lo se'af ha'chametz ki chol sor v'chol dvash lo saktiri menu ishamash. With your permission, I just wanted to make one connection to Parshas HaChodesh. And specifically the Maftir section that we're going to read. The Korban Pesach. So we know that the Jewish people are separated from the Egyptians, you know, through this night, through the night of the 15th. Asher Pasach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nagpo es mitzrayim v'es batenu hitzil v'yikod ha'am v'yishtach. But on those nights, on that night I should say, the homes of the Jewish people became like a mini mikdash. As we know, the Avodas Adam was done on the doors at the entrance to the home. There wasn't yet a mizbeach. It was the place where the Korban Pesach was eaten. V'kach ha'tochlu oso. So by analogy, so the Jewish people were all, like, in that moment, as Kohanim are in perpetuity, they were all in that moment in a mikdash of sorts. They were like in the roles of the Kohanim. They all participated in the Korban Pesach. And the Torah tells us something very important, which is relevant to Pesach Mitzrayim, but I think it has implications in terms of the way that at least we think about Mikdash. V'chacha tochlu oso. Masnechem chagurim. Nalechem iraglechem akilchem biadchem. That the Jewish people have to eat in a state of total alertness and alacrity. Girded. The staffs in their hands, shoes on their feet, ready to go. This wasn't, you know, an environment like a symposium, you know, where, you know, people, we think about Heseba, you know, people reclining around. That's not what Pesach Mitzrayim was. In that mikdash, with the Dam and the Mashkov and the Shtei HaMezuzos, there was great, they ate it military style. They weren't going to leave until the morning. It wasn't like, okay, half an hour before we leave, get your shoes on. But I think that was part of the idea. That if you're in the Makom HaMikdash, you're on duty. It's not a party. There's a beautiful medrash which is quoted by Rashi. It's an agada, but I think it cuts to the heart of the issue, where, you know, the Bechorim were supposed to be the ones who did the Avodah. And remember in Parshas Toldos when Esav sells the Bechorah to Yaakov, and he does it for, you know, the Nezir Adashim. And there's just such a deep and penetrating insight that we have from Chazal. So Esav says, "Hinei anochi holeich lamos, v'lama zali bechora." So what does it mean, "Hinei anochi holeich lamos"? In the Pshat, it means that he was so hungry, maybe he's exaggerating a little bit. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he says, no. What Esav meant was, the Bechorim have to do the Avoda. Avoda means that if you mess around, Hinei anochi holeich lamos, like Nadav and Avihu, right? That's what happened. So why would I want that? What do I want to be in an environment where I can't do as I please? That I have to be, you know, buttoned up. Ma'kelchem b'yadchem, na'lechem b'raglechem. You know, that it's a sense of, you know, ad-libbing Asher Lo Tzivo Osam is not going to be acceptable. It's not going to be tolerated. And Esav wanted nothing to do with that. He didn't want that kind of responsibility. Esav wanted to live in a way that what he could do what he wanted, when he wanted, why he wanted. The life of the Mikdash and the life of the Kohen is a life of responsibility, of putting oneself last. Vayidomaron. So the Jewish people became, on that night of the 15th, transformed, as we know, into the Mamachas Kohen in Vigoy Kadosh. Then it got narrowed down to Shevet Levi. But that was that transformation on that night. Just like when Aaron and his sons were transformed into Kohanim, it was Mipesach Ol Moed Lo Seitzu. Ve'atem Lo Seitzu Ish Mipesach Beisavad Boker was the rule for the night of the 15th. It was meant to be a time when we were elevated and transformed into being like the Kohanim. Ma'akelchem Yerchem, Alechem Raglechem. With all of the alacrity that comes with that. So Mikdash is a great responsibility. And Kohen is a great responsibility. And it has to be driven by a real conception as a servant. And that, of course, is a form of greatness. B'makom shatamotzi an visanuso, shama tamotzi gadluso. But it has to start with a sense of servant. Nadav and Avihu lack that. And so maybe an interesting conclusion we could suggest that it wasn't just that Elazar and Itamar survived the Banav and Osarim, but that Elazar and Itamar inherited their father's sense of place and respect for boundaries. They weren't to be found on that mountain. Mishivim Zikne Yisrael. In the Agada and Sanhedrin, Aharon, Moshe and Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, Shar Zikne Yisrael, Chol Yisrael Achareim, Elazar and Itamar weren't walking in that middle group. They had a sense of perspective and place. There's a reason they survived. There's a reason they didn't do this. It was a conscious choice. To conclude where we began, Sefer Yikra is all about Kedusha. Kedusha Samikdash. Kedushas Hazman, Kedushas Haaretz. And any time we're in proximity to Kedusha, we have to be aware of ourselves, within ourselves, respectful, you know, of those boundaries. So I want to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, Shabbos HaChodesh, and really, as we welcome in the month of Nisan, this expression means so much to us all the time, but this year maybe more than most, so with your permission, I'll conclude with it. B'Nisan Nigalu, v'Nisan Asidin Ligoel, that it should be Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon that we have an experience of great redemption in this month of Nisan, for all of Klal Yisrael. If it's not too greedy to ask, in particular, especially on a day when we talk so much about the pain of parents, for those who are being held in terrible captivity, they should go me'avdus l'cheiros. We're thinking of all of them. It can't happen too soon. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it before Chodesh Nisan, I'll take that also. But we should be zocha to see all of those that remain alive, brought back alive, all of those who, Rachmana Litzlan, are no longer alive, brought back for Kever Yisrael. B'nisan Asidin Ligoel, may we be zocha to witness that Geula this Chodesh Nisan.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Thank you. What?
You. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say thank you, Rabbi Friedman. I know his camera and went off, so maybe he's busy, but thank you again, Rabbi Friedman.
I'm here.
I had a phone call in between, but thank you. Thank you, everybody. Wishing everybody a Shabbat Shalom, and please God, we should hear good news all around.
Thank you, Debbie. Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
Thank you.